This is, I guess we could say, a Darshan's dream, Rishus Rabbi Weiss. Thanksgiving, and it's the parsha where we learn about Thanksgiving. Hapam Odes Hashem. Leah names her fourth child, Yehuda, for the notion of Hodah, and this is obviously an important source. Some say that this is the basis for why we are called Yehudim, because we, in our core essence, we take after that sense of appreciation that Yehuda represented in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be thankful for everything that we have. Now, what's interesting is the Gemara tells us, and many of my first are perplexed by this, that the reason why it was so significant that she called her son Yehuda is that she was the first person to ever thank Hashem. What does that mean? She was the first person to ever thank Hashem? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they never thanked Hashem? Of course they did. That's the question that's asked by the Mefarshim. I think we can strengthen the question a little bit by just watching the sequence of names, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, that come before Yehuda, right? What's the basis for the name Reuven? Ki amra ki ra'ah Hashem b'ani, ki atoyah b'ani yeshia. Hashem saw that I'm disadvantaged, that I'm second tier, that I'm playing second fiddle to Rachel. And also when it comes to Shimon, ki shama Hashem ki sinua, no, ki Hashem heard my tefillos. Seems like an expression of Hakaras HaTov. The third one's very interesting. When it comes to Levi, Atomar ata apam yolava ishi elai. She says that this time, finally, my husband will, like a Levoy, Leviat, too, he'll accompany me. He'll stay with me. So people used to think it was a joke, but I think it's a chizkuni that what Leah was saying was, okay, I had one child, I had two children, now I have three. So what happens when the mother has to cross the street? So she has one hand, another hand, and then third hand, you need the husband to take the third kid across the street. So she said, after my third child, it has to be that he's going to pay more attention to me. But alas, to no avail. And then she has her fourth child. But it seems embedded in the names of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, there's a degree, a very significant degree of Hakaras HaTov and Hodah. So what's going on? So there's a similar explanation given both by Rav Schwab and Rabbi Lam. And essentially, what they say is, if we put ourselves in the shoes of Leah, so the first three sons, even though they may sound like thankfulness, really what they are is a tefillah. It's that, Hashem, you've given me access, or you've given me the opportunity to see my tefillah, so finally being able to connect with Yaakov on a more deep and meaningful way that she felt she was lacking, because Rachel was the primary wife of Yaakov. And Kira Hashem v'ani ki atoyev ani ishi is, Hashem, please, now that I find myself with the capacity to be a mother to the children of my husband and so forth, when it comes to Shimon, ki shama Hashem ki sinu anochi, v'yiten li gam ezeh, essentially she's asking Hashem, please help me capitalize on the moment, on the bracha that you've given me. So it's not purely Hakaras HaTov. There's a degree, there's an element of that, but essentially she's asking Hashem, please change the situation, because the details on the ground are different as well. Which means that when we get finally to the fourth son, it's very significant, because now she no longer includes that tefillah in the name of Yehuda. All these years, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, what she's thinking, hoping, anticipating, she's getting excited that now finally things are going to be different. After suffering under the trick, you know, and the resulting outcome that she's really the, unfortunate beneficiary of, so to speak, of Lavan's trickery, right? So she's saying, Hashem, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, make things different. And yet that is not what occurs. And still, when she gets to the fourth son, she's able to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what, upon reflection, I realize that maybe things are not always going to go the way that I intend them to go. And maybe my vision, my desire, my dream of what it's supposed to look like in this perfect home, this perfect shidduch with a tzaddik Yaakov, those dreams will not be fulfilled. But that doesn't stop me from thanking Hashem. The difference between thanksgiving and thankfulness is the ability to have the perception, not just I check off the box or I perform the act of Hakaras HaTov, but when you have a general attitude of thankfulness, then you're able to take a step back and appreciate that Hashem is showering all kinds of brachos upon us, even if they don't always line up precisely with the picture that we had laid out in our minds and imagined it was going to be. So perhaps what Chazal is saying when they say that Leah was the first person to express this thankfulness through the name Yehuda, through Hapam Udas Hashem, it's, you know, sort of what we say in English, thanks for nothing. Thank you, Hashem, even when I can't concretely say that this is what I had wanted. But maybe I need to reflect a little bit and see maybe there's a bigger picture, there's a bigger plan that you have in mind. And maybe another dimension, just the fact that I got anything from you, Hashem, is not something I should take take for granted. Maybe she had a moment where she put herself in Rachel's shoes and said, wait a minute, my sister has zero and I have four children? That itself is something to be thankful for. But you can only do that, again, if your goal is not thanksgiving, if your goal is thankfulness and allowing that attitude to pervade. And it redefines what our identity as Yehudim has to be, that the taking after Yehuda, it's not just thank you when we got what we wanted, but even when we didn't get what we wanted. But to know that we're always the beneficiaries of Hashem's brachos is an occasion for thankfulness, and perhaps in that regard, she really was the first person to exemplify this expression, this demonstration of Hodah.